The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
We're open line today till 1 o'clock, so the floor is yours. Got lots of messages to get through as well. So whatever's on your mind, call 66 13 68, text or WhatsApp on 166 177, email studio at manxradio.com. Message in from Jack. Is it me? No, is it me? Or is everybody having issues with Manx Telecom at the moment? My internet sometimes is slow, sometimes it's fast. My mobile phone coverage is very patchy, whereas it used to be brilliant. What's happening? Is it me or is everybody else getting this issue? So if you have a problem, if you've got kind of intermittent service with Manx Telecom, if your internet is sometimes fast and sometimes slow, we're just trying to build up an interactive map, really, of are there any issues around the Isle of Man? And then we'll put that to Manx Telecom. So if you want to get in touch, by all means do. Text, email, or WhatsApp. And also a message from Marilyn, who just said, I heard Manx Radio reporting that there are delays in thyroid treatment for Manx Care. Manx Care said the procedures can be carried out on island, but it needs two surgeons to operate together for thyroid treatment. In April this year, a new theatre timetable was introduced reflecting the annual operating budget for Manx Care, as outlined in their plans. Get the picture? This reduced the number of ENT theatre operating sessions available. All patients currently waiting for thyroid surgery are being assessed, at which point a decision is going to be made regarding the most appropriate care, which may be surgery on the Isle of Man or referral for surgery in England. So, again, if you need any more information, MCALS will give you all the details. That's the Manx Care Advice and Liaison Service, which you can find out more. If you go to gov.im and look for MCALS, the Manx Care Advice and Liaison Service, if you want more information. They also have a telephone number on 642 642 and ask for MCALS. But again, if the thyroid problem is affecting you, then do let us know just how long you've actually been waiting. To the phones now, and oh, it's former MHK Chris Robertshaw with us. Faster Mike, good afternoon, Chris.
Faster Mike, Andy, thanks for taking my call. I'm afraid I'm back to the issue, this incredibly important issue of the relationship of the AG's department with the Employment Tribunal as it relates to Manx Care, both whistleblowers and complainants. And I now know that the Isle of Man today has taken up the issue, along with yourselves on Manx Radio's news. But the specific question beginning to be asked, and quite rightly so, is the conduct of the AG's department beginning to damage the island's reputation? And my argument would be now that it is. And if I can just give you a quick explanation as to why that is the case. I think most people know that I followed the Roslyn Ransom case very, very closely indeed. Let me say, as a consequence of that, that I knew that it was the Attorney General's office that were determined to get this to the Employment Tribunal, despite a number of us at the time saying, for goodness sake, this can be dealt with carefully and quietly in conjunction with Roslyn Ransom. It doesn't need to go to the Employment Tribunal. And if it falls out badly, as it obviously did, for the Isle of Man government, then it would damage our reputation. Had the AG's department not had its way, then there would never have been this huge reputational damage issue caused by the AG's department and their determination to be bullying. But there's another aspect to this now, which is a continuing process, and that is the way the Attorney General's office are treating the claimants and whistleblowers from Manx Care, being called out quite clearly by the chairman of the Employment Tribunal, is doing further damage. So anybody listening to this who's concerned about morale and etc. in Manx Care and the ability to recruit, let them point the fingers at the AG's department and say, for goodness sake, sort this out. But I say to all the Tynwald members, for goodness sake, when are you going to get a grip of this? Where's your courage? When are you going to stand up and deal with the AG's department and put them back in their place? And most of all, I say this finally to Jane Poole Wilson. You were appointed as the Minister of Justice. You and I were involved in this because we knew of the damage being done. And you've done nothing at all about it. In fact, you've gone the other way. I would now accuse Jane Poole Wilson of being the Minister of Injustice.
Okay, for the record, Chris Robertshaw, how many days were you at the Rosalind Ranson, the legal process? How many days were you there?
Well, a significant number of days, because it kept being postponed, and as the AGs tried to make it ever more complicated. I also attended the two ridiculous appeals that the Attorney General raised with the High Court, where at the time, and by which time the second appeal, the Attorney General's office had to step back because clearly they were conflicted. Their representatives, Callum Wilde, stood in front of the Judge of Appeal and said, Your Honour, we don't know why we're here. I mean, it was all those of us in attendance could do to stop laughing out loud in court, because the AG's conduct there was so downright ridiculous. They are bullies, and Tynwald and the Minister of Justice has got to deal with this. And if the current House won't deal with it, then the new House must. We must get our sense of justice back. The damage, the reputational damage to the Isle of Man, to Manx Care, is just too great, Andy.
Okay, and just finally, I mean, implicit in what you're saying is, and although we don't often rake over cold ashes, are you saying that the Rosalind Ranson affair could have been sorted out before we got to the legal process?
Absolutely, positively, yes.
My word. Okay, Chris Robertshaw, thanks for calling today.
Thanks, Andy. Thanks for taking my call.
Bye-bye. 14 minutes past 12 on Man in Light. Here's Mark with us now. Hi, Mark.
Hey, Andy, how you doing, fella?
Well, I'm glad I'm inside and not outside.
Yeah, well, actually, it's lovely and sunny where I am. But never mind that. I'm just sidetracking a little bit. Yeah. Telecom, Manx Telecom. Just a little bit of salutary story for anybody that's about to have fibre put in. Don't know if you've had it or not.
Yes, I've got fibre.
And how's it working at your gaff?
Well, you never know, do you, to be quite honest. Sometimes it's okay and sometimes it's a little slow. I don't know whether... My house has got quite thick walls, so the Wi-Fi's a bit intermittent.
Well, that's what happens when you live in an 18th-century castle, but never mind that. I have got fibre in my house, and I'm being charged 51 quid a month for wireless internet connection that I don't have. This fibre thing will not let me have wireless internet. I can't take my laptop anywhere except the dining room table. And if I need to use that, I have to have a booster box. If I put the television, I mean, I've got one of these smart televisions, you know, all singing, all dancing smart televisions. But everything we watch goes through a Sky box. Now, we're trying to get rid of Sky because it's like £109 a month. So we went on to the smart television, the terrestrial channels that come free with the television. And you can see how I was slightly perturbed to see that it came up every time we put BBC, ITV, Channel 4, Rakuten, whatever it was we put on, it came up on the screen, wireless internet connection disconnected. So when I phoned Telecom up about it, they basically said to me, well, it's showing that everything works. There's nothing wrong with it. We're not going to do anything about it. So they're still charging me £51 a month for a service that I haven't got.
Just run me through that again.
Right. You know, have you got a smart telly?
Yeah.
Right. So if you go on your smart telly, as soon as you switch it on, there's all these television channels at the bottom of it.
Yeah.
Right, so those channels come through the television. They don't go through a Sky box or anything. If you want to go through the Skybox, you've got to click onto the Sky channel, and every channel then goes through the Skybox.
Right.
If you don't want that, you can go onto one of those channels at the bottom, BBC, ITV, Channel 4. Click on it, and it should come straight up on the telly.
Right.
Everybody I know, they've got this facility. But as soon as I put it on my television, it comes up on the screen, wireless internet disconnected. And whenever I phone Manx Telecom, and I have to be honest with you, I've phoned them 20-odd times. I've been down the shop 6 or 7 times. I've emailed them numerous times. And all I keep getting back is, as far as we're concerned, the fibre's working. There's nothing wrong. What do you want us to do about it?
What make of television is it?
It's a Samsung.
Is it? How old is it?
2 years. We got it installed just before we had the fibre.
Right.
And before that, when we got it installed, all those terrestrial channels that were at the bottom, every one of them worked when we had the old copper. I could go in the back garden with my laptop and it would work. But the second this fibre comes in, the laptop won't work without a booster. If I take it anywhere in the house, it says there's no wireless internet connection. And the television is telling me there's no wireless internet connection either. And I'm just getting absolutely nowhere at all with Manx Telecom. They just don't really care. But I just thought I'd ring you up because they are rolling out this now and you don't have a say whether you have it or not. You've got to have it. And I can imagine, you said it yourself, yours is intermittent. 1 minute is brilliant, the next minute it's not so good. I don't even have that luxury.
Well, I wonder if anybody can help, if anybody knows what exactly the problem is to diagnose. So you basically click on the TV channels and it disconnects your internet.
No, no, it just doesn't connect to it.
Oh, wow.
I have to go through Sky to watch everything.
Right, okay. Well, I wonder why that is.
Yeah, so if I switch the Sky box off, everything goes off. I've no idea, Andy, mate. I really don't. I'd love to know how it happens. I mean, we had the Telecom just before Christmas, just after Christmas, sent round their best engineer. And this guy was pulling his hair out. He was here for two whole days. Can you imagine how much that costs Telecom?
Well,
2 days.
Interesting. We just had a text in from 381 who said, I've got exactly the same problem.
Well, there you go. And this guy was tearing his hair out. And he said to me and my wife, he says, if there's a problem, I'm the troubleshooter. I know everything. 2 days later, he said, I'm so sorry. I don't know what to do. Okay. And there you go. You just had 318 or whatever it was saying. They've got the same problem. I'm pretty certain, Andy, before you finish today and go back to Casa Hacienda, you'll probably get several more people phoning up saying, I've got exactly the same problem. So why aren't Telecom doing something?
Okay. All right. We'll try and find out. Thanks for calling.
Have a good day, my friend.
Cheers, mate. 19 minutes past 12. Are you getting that? Are you getting that sort of problem? Oh, just as regarding a referendum, says Big John in Ramsey, if there is a referendum, it will be totally wrong, as the people who should vote are our next generation, who are mostly under 16 years of age. I know firsthand, my nine grandchildren, they're all in favour of wind farms. What they say is, wind farms are less damaging to the planet, says informed Big John in Ramsey. Manx Telecom service is awful in the north. Most nights we can't watch anything without it buffering or stopping working. And Manx Telecom 4G is shocking, says Terry in St John's during the evening, next to no 4G in Braddon during the day. Shore fibre at home is fast. Fibre, I think, says Tam in Williston, is the biggest con going. Can't wait till my contract ends. Somebody's got an idea. 603 says you need to put your new router password into the television. And somebody else on 805 says, and it reconnect the television to wireless again on settings. In Manx Telecom's defence, says 575, the service to your home ends at your home. What you receive from Sky or YouTube is not down to Manx Telecom. That's a server issue with Sky. And Dodgy says, when are we going to get some decent service from the phone networks here? Both Shore and Manx Telecom don't offer value for money. The 4G internet service is so patchy at best. And where's the new 5G? It's supposed to be the dog's dinner. Everybody else has got 5G, and we don't. We were quite good before. Advise Mark to scrap fibre and go with Starlink. Says 645, Starlink is the Elon Musk satellite. There's lots of people have got Starlink on the Isle of Man, and it seems to work okay. The internet upgrade comes with the cheapest router possible. You need to upgrade your equipment and everything will be fine, says 015. Oh, I see. We have to spend more money, do we? I thought that would be in it. Here's Betty with us now. Hi, Betty.
Hi, Andy. I just want to say that my internet connection doesn't always work as well. It usually goes off for a short time and then it comes back on again.
Whereabouts is this, Betty?
This is in Reserve.
Okay, and
I'm on fibre.
Right, and you're on fibre. And is it any particular time of the day? Is it routine or just as and when?
Just as and when, and just mainly in the evening.
Okay. All right, Betty. Thanks for calling today.
But I have something else to say as
well.
Oh,
by all means, go ahead.
Yes, I'd just like to another shout out to Audiology and to Tracy for being helpful and understanding.
Well, we're happy to pass the message on, Betty. Thanks for calling.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye now. Ever wondered what you, whether you've got what it takes to become a firefighter, part-time or full-time? Would you like to find out about becoming a firefighter, full-time or part-time? Well, go along to the Come and Try sessions tonight at 6:15, Douglas Fire Station. If you want more details, visit gov.im/jobs. That's tonight, 6:15, Douglas Fire Station, to find out if you've got what it takes to become a full or part-time firefighter.
Hello, this is Doug Farragher. In conjunction with Manx Radio, I'd like to invite you to join us and learn something about our native Gaelic tongue, the language of man.
Hi, Liz. I see you've had your garage converted.
We're desperate for more room.
Yes. Come through and have a look. John called Manx Property Conversions. We now have an extra bedroom, but it could be another reception room, kids' playroom or office. They also did our conservatory roof last year. We were so impressed, we got them back to convert the garage.
Wow, I need that. What's their number again?
Call MPC on 450500. That's 450500. Or find them on Facebook at Manx Property Conversions.
Discover the work of the man who could paint the wind at the world's largest exhibition of works by Archibald Knox, right here on display at the Manx Museum. Featuring exquisite jewellery, pewterware, paintings, manuscripts and furniture from collections across the British Isles. Visit Knox Order and Beauty every day from 9:30 till 4:30 at the Manx Museum. Discover more Knox-themed events at manxnationalheritage.im.
LVW Law are a team of experienced advocates, solicitors and barristers, trained mediators and international arbitrators. Let them help you achieve the best possible outcome in your case with their wide range of legal services for businesses, corporate and private clients. You can trust the LVW Law team to fight for you every step of the way. Visit lvwlaw.com and make an appointment today. Your first 30 minutes are free. LVW Law, they're on your side.
We make oil heating easy with our range of services. Whether it's our free smart tank monitoring systems or just our efficient all-island deliveries, Ellen Vannin Fuels has it covered. Call us on 844-000 to find out more.
A Gheilg, the Manx Gaelic, Chinian Amera, the mother tongue of Ellen Vannin, the Isle of Man. You can catch up with more of Manx Radio's Manx language programmes in the weekly podcast Abershen Rish. Say that again.
Abershen Rish.
Shene, that's the one.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Wi-Fi in Glen May, says Barry, is exactly the same. It just keeps buffering. and dropping out. Message in from 329 sent me a nice photo. There's a new mast apparently going up in Ramsey Shipyard. There's a Wi-Fi mast going up there, a mobile phone mast. Our fibre is the same, very intermittent. We were told it's because we live in Birch Hill and our house is too long, apparently. It's a good excuse. We have two boosters. The signal light is either on orange or red, but very seldom green. Any more reports on some coverage, telecom coverage on the Isle of Man? Anything to report? Bonzo's on now. Hi, Bonzo.
Hello. Yes, hi. Do you know what day it is today?
I was reading this yesterday, of course. It's September the 15th, which, hang on a minute, Battle of Britain Day.
Absolutely, yes. 85 years ago today was the date of the largest battle of the Battle of Britain. But that battle went on from, well, sort of May and June, fall of France and Dunkirk, into late September, early October. And it wasn't just the fighter pilots, of course, who very bravely fought in that, but also the bomber pilots, Bomber Command, in their light Blenheim bombers, who went over to France many times a day in order to bomb invasion barges, and they took very heavy losses doing that. And also the people in Coastal Command, who took substantial losses trying to keep German naval assets and German reconnaissance planes, etc., in the Atlantic and the North Sea at bay. So seeing as I haven't seen anything about it today on anywhere, I think I'd just like to remind people of that and, perhaps spare a moment's thought on that today.
I think it's also important. One of the things that, and kind of the British always think of the British, but the Canadians played a big part in it. I know because I've got several Canadian friends who study the Second World War, and they say, and certainly in Canada, they always refer to very, very, well, certainly the older generation, are very patriotic towards Britain and the part that Canada played in the Second War.
Well, quite. And indeed, the part that one particular Canadian played with the Poles, as he was the chap who was the deputy commander of 303 Squadron. And he taught the Poles the aviation English and trained them in RAF procedure and stuff, so that they actually then managed to join the Battle of Britain. It was only about halfway through, but they were flying from RAF Northolt, which is kind of near where Heathrow is now.
Well, I know I've got a couple of Polish friends on the Isle of Man who know all about 303 Squadron, which was, to say they were brave, and they bordered almost on the messianic in their zeal to get at the Germans.
Oh yeah, and they were the highest scoring squadron in the Battle of Britain, and they were only in it for half the time. So that showed their level of determination, because they'd had previous experience in the fall of Poland doing that. So, yes, one of the Spitfire pilots, Rob Dale, his name was, who was with the County of Warwick Royal Auxiliary Air Force Squadron, which flew Spitfires. And as he said, we don't want parades. We don't want flag waving. We just want to be remembered, and we want to be remembered as to why we had to do this, so that people won't go and do it again.
Well, Bonzo, I'm indebted to you for bringing that up. As I say, I noticed it in the news yesterday, but I'm happy you brought that up today. And thanks for calling us, Bonzo.
Okay, then. Thanks. Bye.
Appreciate it. September the 15th is the annual commemoration of the battle in the United Kingdom, Battle of Britain Day. In Canada, the commemoration takes place on the third Sunday of September. Battle of Britain Day. And Eddie's with us now. Hi, Eddie.
Hi, Andy. All right, mate?
Very well, thanks.
A reply to... You had a caller on earlier on who mentioned that he's got quite a few grandchildren and they're all for wind farm. Well, I don't know how long it was ago I mentioned that the kids in school are not getting taught anything about the wind farms. I've only learned all about wind farms because I've taken the time to study it. And I've also got a lot of grandkids, and I've taken the time to teach mine about the truth about wind farms. So the fact that they're not green, they're not efficient, they're not the way forward. And if I'm concerned about my grandchildren's future, I would allow somebody to teach them in the schools. You had an offer from Paul Burgess, didn't we? And the schools refused to let him talk about it. He's an expert. He's the best expert in Britain. But the kids in school are not getting taught anything about wind turbines.
Well, sure as anything, I mean, whatever's going to cost in the future, whatever it is, whatever source of energy that we have, it's that generation that will be dipping into their pay packets to pay for it.
Yeah, and that's why we should be concerned, isn't it? I think, I don't know how many times I've actually said this, but unless you teach the kids what the truth is about this, that all we get at the moment is what the people who are selling the thing are coming out with. We've already shown that the MEA have told a pack of lies, the government have told a pack of lies, but our kids are getting that as the truth. You know, they're not going to dispute it. We actually have taken the time for the last 3 years, maybe going on now, to find out the truth. But nobody is allowing the kids at school to learn anything about them. I mean, you had the Onken, was it Onken? Or, yeah, I think it was Onken, where they had the meeting, 83% against the wind turbines.
That was in Laxey. Yeah, but then Laxey. Again, they're going to be looking these big things in the face. So you wouldn't...
Yeah, but what I was going to say, Andy, is at that Laxey meeting, there was all sorts of things discussed. But one thing I noticed that was missing, because I've gone over it again and again, was the fact that when those turbines are up there, they shed a lot of problems into the sea. And if you remember in some of the past information we've given to you, in America, broken blades actually cost somewhere in America, I think it was along the California coast, I think, millions and millions of pounds because they had to close the beaches. These things are lethal. Once they are not in their normal position, should I say, which is producing electricity, they get blown over. We've had them blown over in Japan, Australia, you name it, all over the world. The minute they go over, they are no use to anybody and they pollute everything. So they're not green. So let's teach the kids first. If we're concerned about the future for our kids, then let's get the knowledge out there to them.
Okay. All right. What else is on your mind, Eddie?
That was it.
That's fine. Good to hear from you.
I would just love to see the schools do a bit more. Our education minister is not even concerned about it.
Okay, thanks for calling today. Polish people on the Isle of Man always go to the 303 War Memorial near the Town Hall every year, says 290. A message said, in response to the recent caller, let's have a look here. Our fibre is very intermittent as well. And thanks also to Phil, who says, you talked about British, you talked about Canadian, but men came from all over the Commonwealth and occupied Europe to be involved in that. There were New Zealanders, Australians, Rhodesians, Belgians, French, Poles and Czechs as well. And also some pilots from the neutral then United States and Ireland as well. So not all the pilots were British. It is is the Battle of Britain Day today. It's the 15th of September, and Howard's with us now. Hi, Howard.
Hello, Andy. Listen to Bonzo there, how very true it is that we should hold the RAF and all other flyers in the war in high respect because of the danger they put themselves into.
Can you imagine, Howard? I mean, some of the crew were in their teens, yes, going on some of those raids. I mean, it's unthinkable, the danger. And of course, the attrition rate was really high. You know, you had mm-hmm. only a one in three chance of getting back.
Yeah. And they went out and back. I know a lot of them had problems afterwards, but by the same token, they went to fight for their country. And the Polish, the Canadians, and various other nationalities all came, trained, and went out to fight for our country. But what I was going to say was we have a little bit of that here on the island. And again, it's all part of our history, because Ronald's Way, in the 1940s, during the war, was the RAF. Now, people are going to be up in arms and say, no, it wasn't, it was there. But in 1941, the RAF handed it over to the Royal Navy.
Well, right.
And it became HMS Early. And it took a couple of years. 1943, it was then in full working order because they put new runways in and everything. But when I was down there, and I was down for 25 years and had a good look around the place while I was working, and the fuel dumps that were there that we were using, there were 9 tanks, and they were all put in. It was Langs that put them in, and I took out some of the parts when we closed down the fuel farms and opened up our new one in 1999. And two of the sticks that I took out of the dip tanks are at the Military Museum. And that was Royal Navy Air Station, Ronald's Way, Isle of Man, 1941. They're date stamped on the sticks. But a curiosity, we had a hangar, one of the old hangars there, and we keep the wagons and various bits in it, but the concrete floor was all pitted, and it was in a full circle. This is inside the building.
Yeah.
And I was curious as to what it was. And apparently, they had a tall tower, and they used to use that for training bombing. And they were setting small detonators off, and that was chipping the concrete.
Oh, crikey.
Yep. It was training people for flying Royal Navy Air Station and Ronald's Way. But that was all part of our history here. And the best place to go and remember all this, we'll do a bit of advertising here now, is the Military Museum at Ronald's Way. And that is an eye-opener as to what part the Isle of Man played in the Battle of Britain.
Okay.
So, as I say, that the Ronald's Way, as it stands now, is just what we term an airport. But the equipment that we were using that from 1940s right up to 1999, and it was still functioning. So it was well and truly over-engineered. But, you know, proper working equipment, and that was for the HMS Early.
Okay, all right, Howard, we appreciate it. Thanks for calling.
Take care. Bye now.
Cheers now. I hope and I think every MHK who is running again next year to stay in their jobs should be made to account for what they've actually achieved in the last 5 years in whatever job they hold in government. It will make interesting listening and to give the general public more of a choice to reach a candidate in their final decision. Believe you me, we'll be talking to absolutely everybody who's standing next year. Daphne Kane said in an interview they got spotted dick and custard for pudding and such like when she went to school. Well, let our kids at least have a chance of having spotted dick and custard instead of an apple banana or just an apple. 235, this is the new recipe, this is the new menu that's in schools nowadays. A note in just to says, I also find coverage patchy in Douglas and outside as well, says Ange. Is that on your phone or on your Wi-Fi? I can't get a Manx Telecom signal anywhere on Loch Promenade. It's no good if you're trying to make a credit card payment in a taxi, says Ian. How is your mobile phone coverage? We're just looking at, I just get anecdotal messages and emails about patchy coverage, and not all the time, but just sometimes, whether it's evening, whether the internet gets very busy in the evening and coverage drops because of that. If anybody's technical enough to explain what's happening, we'd really appreciate it. Otherwise, of course, you get lots of Manx skeet coming in about issues about servicing and things like that. The internet's been hopeless for some time, says John in Saddleston. 4G stops after 6 o'clock. Where does the signal come from? And when are we going to get 5G? Regarding the AG's office, says Andy, surely the minister knows what's right for the populace over what's burdensome and overreaching. And if she doesn't, shouldn't she go with no one having confidence in her leadership qualities, says Andy. Well, nobody within the Parliament said that. We're just talking about the Attorney General's office with the case in point being for whistleblowers. Anyway, if you have any thoughts on it, by all means do get in touch. Andy says, I've got the same problem, 381, regarding that. And just listening to Mark, says Kevin, we've had exactly the same problem on the after the installation of fibre. I think apparently it's down to them using the cheapest possible routers and perhaps the installation of the fibre. Is it down to cheap routers? I mean, if it can all be solved by buying a more expensive router, then surely, you know, we should be told about this. I wonder how much in total it's cost for the AG's office to represent Manx Care in cases of dispute that have either not reached court or be withdrawn, as there would have been a significant cost for the advice, representation or what have you. I would expect this to be in the millions, says Mike. And back to the phones, we've got, let me see here, I think it's Julie Edge, MHK. Hi, Julie.
Hi, Andy. How are you?
Very well, yeah. What's on your mind, Julie?
Okay, so obviously, Andy, an awful lot of people are aware that I initially started whistleblowing and had a select committee into MORD for whistleblowing way back in the last administration. So I've always been very supportive of whistleblowers. And I just really want to confirm that the behaviours that Chris Robertshaw, who I worked alongside for in the first administration, is quite correct with regards to the way whistleblowers are being treated. I'm still supporting whistleblowers, and all I see is the way that they try to exhaust detriment to the whistleblower. And I'm not saying this is the AGs who's instructing managers, but my concern, having met with the Chief Minister this summer with regards to this, it's getting worse, not better. And I just really want to reiterate that fact. And I think it's one of a serious matter that our Chief Minister really needs to step up to and start listening with the treatment that whistleblowers are receiving on the Isle of Man.
I think because obviously most people, we're lay people, we're not legally qualified. So, I mean, is the AG just doing his job? Is it just par for the course? Is he doing what would otherwise be done anyway? Or when you say things are getting more, are getting worse for whistleblowers, what do you mean?
So it should never actually, in my opinion, and part and parcel of the committee, it should never get to the AG stage. We should have highly qualified, high-caliber managers that know how to manage a whistleblowing case. And certainly I'm not seeing that. I'm seeing a deterioration in that. And it gets to a point where the detriment to the individuals. What we need to remember is it's an employee, it could be an employee, it could be an external individual. You know, we see whistleblowing cases outside in the finance sector, etc. But what people are raising, the majority of people are raising, is public interest matters. And all we need to do initially is investigate that public interest matter. Instead, what is happening, I'm happy to say it is happening, they just try and drive the highly professional people out of our services in the Isle of Man, and that's at detriment to the whole of the public service.
When you say these highly professional people, I mean, typically, I mean, obviously, don't mention any names or any cases, but what sort of areas do you believe that we've lost professional people in because of them being ground down in this process?
It's right across the board. It's, you know, there's been many cases that people will have seen come up on the tribunal listing but disappear off tribunal listings, and that's because they've probably then had a silence in settlement of some sort, which is not the way we want to operate in the Isle of Man. We should be a culture. The culture was supposed to be changing. My biggest concern is the culture's got worse. There's more ganging up of whistleblowers, and they are not employment matters. I've had quite a few, I won't call them threats because it's just people expressing their view, but I have been told to be very careful. I won't be very careful. I will ensure that I support people with whistleblowing and ensure that their case is heard in the correct way, following policy and process. And I am very aware that Dr. Rosalind Ranson only wanted policy and process followed, and it wasn't. And certainly we know what happened there. And the same is happening today. Policy and process does not appear to be followed. We've had an update to the employment legislation, and it is good that we've now got stronger legislation. However, the whistleblowing policy for the government hasn't even been updated with the latest prescribed persons list. What on earth is going on in our, you know, within OHR and the government? And it was the reason I met with the Chief Minister this summer, because I'm seeing more and more of it, and it's got to stop. We've got to start listening to them.
Julie, I mean, are you genuinely saying that you've been warned off this?
I haven't. I've been warned off for various matters, and of course, having been a civil servant myself and a public servant for 38 years, when you come across people that have less experience of all of our policies and procedures, it's getting concerning, in my opinion. We need to ensure that everybody has that training in whistleblowing. They know how to deal with a whistleblowing case when it arrives. Stop trying to turn it into an employment matter that's a grievance, etc. If it arrives on your desk as a whistleblower, treat it that way. I'm not saying everybody's is correct and accurate. However, it's got to be treated that way because it's all about public interest, and it's the public these people are protecting. They're not protecting themselves because, sadly, we're seeing so many of them lose their jobs.
OK, Julie, we appreciate your call. Thanks for being with us today. 12 minutes before one.
Drive smarter. Drive more reliable. Drive a great deal at Man In Motors. With a superb range of cars for every budget, always available. And if we don't have it, we'll source it. Plus, servicing, valeting and prestige detailing too. Man In Motors, Richmond Hill, Douglas. Find us on Facebook or call 420-420. That's 420-420. Drive a better bargain at Man In Motors.
Customers love Big Red Self-Storage Ronalds Way. And now Big Red Tremode has arrived with 68 ground floor units. Don't know what size you need? Our online tool will help with prices from just £8 a week and your first 4 weeks half price. Big Red offer 24/7 access, covered loading bay, trolleys, stable temperature, automatic lighting and CCTV. Check out Big Red Tremode behind the old vehicle test centre. BigRed.im. Call 640040.
Corkill and Callow are the longest serving funeral directors on the island, relied upon during the most difficult times. We understand that nobody wants to arrange a funeral. That's what we're here for. Our small, friendly team are here to support you, making a challenging time more manageable. With our base in Ramsey and now open in Ballasalla, let us take care of everything so that you can focus on what matters most. Call Corkill and Callow on 855 354.
Are you a small charity here on the Isle of Man? Are you looking for volunteers, hoping to raise awareness and chasing those crucial pounds and pennies to support your work? Well, Manx Radio can help. You could be our next 1-3 Charity of the Week. With daily on-air coverage, podcast and social media promotion, we can help support you and those you help. Just email the numbers 123@manxradio.com and listen out for the feature each weekday between 1 and 3pm. The Charity of the Week, brought to you by Kell Properties.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Oh, remember, if you've ever wondered if you've got what it takes to be a firefighter, part-time or full-time, then go along to the Come and Try session tonight, 6:15 at Douglas Fire Station. If you want to see what it takes to become a full or part-time firefighter, 6:15 Douglas Fire Station. And for job details, go to gov.im/jobs. A note in from Henry, who just said, well, Mr. Robertshaw has no legal qualifications, to my knowledge. I think he's grandstanding to promote his own agenda and the lobby group, which I think is as mysterious and transparent as the cloak of Mananum. Other well-known and highly experienced Manx advocates, including one tribunal chair with no connection to the AG, have posted on various local forums discussing this ET employment tribunal issue that the conduct of the AG is par for the course and is quite normal in legal proceedings of this nature. So what is the real agenda? That's Henry's note in. Have Manx Telecom changed the router, because that's what it sounds like the problem is, says JSM. Thank you for that. Is it the router, JSM? Same problems with an LG television. Fixed it with a Fire Stick. The TV has problems connecting to the internet. We now watch it via the Fire Stick. And again, I've had the same problems with my TV that Mark had. Mine is free satellite, and the TV supplier says it's because of Sky changing a setting on the Skybox. Eric's on now. Hi, Eric.
Hi, Andy. Just wanted to respond to what Chris Robinshaw said and the other caller. I think it was Mark on Friday that you had on.
Yeah.
And well, just recently, it's all nearly a year now, I made a complaint to the Quality Tribunal about a government department. And all I can say now is that Chris Robinshaw is absolutely right. I've been bullied and intimidated out of this claim. And a month ago, I actually dropped the complaint, dropped the claim totally because of the way the Attorney General's office is working. I wasn't in the best of health, and I was not prepared to go down the way they were talking. I've never seen such bullying in my life before. And if you go back to a couple of sayings, one is might is right, but worse, might makes it right. And that is exactly what they're doing, just being bullied out of your claim.
How much did it take for you to back off? Because you're not backward in coming forward normally, Eric. What did it take to persuade you to give it up?
Well, the chance, and you've seen it in the papers last week, that if you lose the case, you could be held liable for all the costs. And also, I wasn't, like I say, I wasn't particularly well at that time, and I was not prepared to risk my health just to win a case. It wasn't for a lot of money. It would have been a very small amount. I just wanted what had happened to be put right. And you expect it to be done on a level playing field. But it isn't very level when they pit a lawyer against you and demand papers and paperwork and witnesses in very short time. You know, they weren't giving a lot of time to get everything together. And I think one of the worst things about it was that the government department I complained about, when you make a complaint in the Equality Tribunal, they have 28 days to respond to your complaint. And if they don't, then the case is deemed as proved because they've not offered no defence. And this government department did not respond in the 28 days. And then after 28 days was over, they then said, oh, we want some extra time to answer this claim. Something's gone wrong. And they were given the extra time, and they shouldn't be.
How did it How did it make you feel, Eric?
Over all this,
yeah.
Very bad, actually, and very let down. And I'm just glad to see now that somebody like Chris Robinshaw is bringing this to a head. It's totally wrong what they're doing. You should not be pitting a lawyer against... Well, yes, they're going to use a lawyer, but in their language and their way they want it to be run. I'm not a lawyer. I can't afford a lawyer. So I'm afraid that the answer is I was bullied. I was intimidated. I reported that to the chairman of the Equality Tribunal, and he come back and said, in his opinion, I wasn't being bullied or intimidated. Well, that's his opinion. He's a professional person. I'm an ordinary working man, if you like. You know, and how am I supposed to fight these people when they have such dirty underhand tricks?
Okay, Eric, we're glad to hear your story today. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, okay, thank you.
Good to hear from you. And Vivian joins us now. Hello, Vivian.
Hello, Andy. You're very quiet.
I'm not normally quiet. Am I still quiet?
Oh, that's better.
Oh, that's better.
I would like to know, can anybody remember, you're talking about Battle of Britain.
Yeah.
In the north, we had a parade, a pageant in the Moorock Park from the schools. I can remember, I wasn't very old, I can remember it vaguely, but I'd love to know if people can remember it. They must be over 80 to remember it.
And where, it was on the Moorock, you say?
On the Moorock Park and on the Moorock Promenade.
Right.
And all the children were involved in it. I can just remember vaguely, but I'm just sitting here thinking, I wonder who else can remember it.
Well, if anybody can, get in touch. What do you remember about it?
Not a lot, just that we went over there and had a practice, and then we had the function, and I cannot remember very much about it because I would not be very old, but I can just remember this all happening.
My word. Okay. All right, Vivian. Well, we'll put that out. If anybody else knows any more, do get in touch. Thanks for calling, Vivian.
Thank you very much. Bye.
All right. What are we now? Look at that time.
When the man in line's not on air, call Manx Radio to leave your opinion for broadcast on 682 631.
That's it. Thanks to Howie on the phones, and thank you for calling in on Man in Line today. Remember, telephone number 661368 during office hours, out of our 682 631. Do get in touch with Man in Line on Manx Radio. WINT.